What's up, everybody, and welcome into the H&M Trucking Podcast, episode 48, and I don't know why I'm feeling it today, but I'm feeling party horns. And you know what? Get an Eagle Screech in there just for good measure. I am your host, Marcus. Thank you so much for being here today. We have a lot to get to, so I do not have very much time. But I really want to thank everybody that's clicking download, clicking subscribe. If there's something you want to hear on the podcast, it's pretty simple to get in touch with us. Just jump into the comments section on any of our Facebook posts. You can talk to Sherry Vogler. You can talk to Eve Essery. Hell, you might even say something to James Fonda about the podcast if you're listening. That would make my absolute day. Let's think about what we're talking about here today. Oh, no, first, I actually need to get to some new drivers. So let me get my applause queued up here and let's welcome back Antonio Cabellos, Midwest Regional Van Driver. Welcome to the big show, Antonio. Also a big H&M podcast. Welcome to Jason Doles, Hopper OTR Driver. Welcome, Jason. And our last big H&M Trucking Podcast welcome goes out to Matt King. He's a van OTR driver. What's up, Matt? Welcome to the big show. Thank you all for joining us here on the H&M Trucking Podcast. And of course, thank you for joining us at this great company. We're always glad to welcome our new drivers here every single week whenever we have new drivers to welcome. So you might hear from some of them on the podcast pretty soon. I've been getting in touch with some newer drivers, adding them to the list, and can't wait to hear from you guys if you do eventually decide to join me here on the H&M Trucking Podcast. Now, today's conversation is going to be a bit of a fun one. We've been talking about all these hot button topics, and we're pissed off about brokerages, and we don't want speed limiters, and AI trucks are putting the cart before the horse, and electric trucks can only drive a few hundred miles. It's been frustrating the last few weeks, okay? It doesn't have to be frustrating anymore. Today, we are simply talking about our favorite trucks out there on the road. What do I mean by favorite? Well, for me, it means something a lot different than what it probably means to you drivers out there, because aside from sitting in one of the brand new Volvos when it was parked over in Jim Musel's shop, I don't have any experience actually driving one of these things down the road, but I went on a nice long road trip here recently, and I was taking note of what trucks I thought were the best looking aesthetically, and we're going to bring Denny Stone on because he has a lot of experience driving a lot of different brands of trucks. He's going to talk us through which ones he likes and dislikes, and then later on in the show, we're going to hook up with our buddy Tom Woods and hear from him about his thoughts on what the best trucks out there on the road are. We got a lot to get to today. I'm already going over as far as the intro is concerned. So producer Mike, my audio ninja, hit the music.
From Omaha, Nebraska, to whatever lane you're driving, this is the H&M Trucking Podcast with your host, Marcus Bridges.
Denny Stone stopped by to join me for yet another segment here on the H&M Trucking Podcast. And man, I feel like you're just you're entrenched now, Denny. It doesn't even matter if you want to get out of here. You're not allowed to leave now. All right.
Hey, I got other stuff to do, man. But yeah, this is fun.
Good. I'm glad you're enjoying it. You came up with a great idea. You were actually researching a little bit of some events and things like that that are going on in different areas of the country that might choke up traffic a little bit. And that is definitely the former driver in you, because it's something I've never even thought of before. You know, I come from radio too, and we're talking about traffic all the time on the radio. And here I am podcasting and not even remembering where I came from. So I'm going to let you take the reins on this. Tell drivers what they might have to look out for in the near future.
Well, if anybody's ever been by, for instance, Bonnaroo or Sturgis or Daytona Bike Week, things like that, that, you know, they can stop up traffic for hundreds of miles. I know Bonnaroo shuts everything down on I-24 between Chattanooga and Nashville during those times. The only thing actually I see coming up this next week is, It's called the 6th Annual Innings Festival out in Tempe, Arizona, right near next to Phoenix. It's not really next to the interstate, so it may or may not, but you know, it's close enough to 10. You might want to plan around it. I don't know if you can. Sometimes you just can't avoid these things, but that's the only thing coming up. We got Daytona Bike Week shortly after that, but we can hit on that next week.
For sure. And you know, one that we could probably hit on next week too, but I just, it popped into my head because I've been to this race a couple of times. NASCAR will be in Vegas here coming up on March 3rd. And I noticed in just driving from the Las Vegas Strip back and forth, I've been to the Las Vegas Motor Speedway for the NASCAR race, I think 4 different times. And every time it was an absolute crawl on the freeway there outside of Vegas headed to the speedway out there. I'm not familiar 100%. I think it's I-10, but I could be completely off my rocker on that one. So I will do more research. And when we do touch on the stuff coming up next, we'll mention this one again. Short little bit of a block there, I'm sure. But considering they start those practices and races and stuff like that all the way as early in the week as Tuesday, there ends up being a lot of traffic going back and forth for almost a week's time there. So I love this idea. Thank you very much for bringing it up. That's why we've got you here. I knew you were going to add a ton to this show, Denny, and you're already pulling way more weight than I'd expect. So thank you for coming up with that.
Oh, you're welcome, man.
This is actually something that I should probably break out my little breaking news intro for. I love my little button pad, and I just don't use it that much. So anytime I can find an excuse to use it, I will. A little bit of breaking news here in the case of David Schultz. Now, if you forgot who David Schultz is from listening to this podcast, actually back in, I believe it was late December, we did an episode that had a lot of talk about David Schultz, who's a missing truck driver out of Iowa. He's been missing since November 21st when he disappeared from his semi while hauling a load of pigs from Eagle Grove to Sac County. David's wife, Sarah, of course, reported him missing after learning that he never made it to the drop-off location. I've got a quick little news clip I want to play for you here on this topic.
Sac County Crime Stoppers announced the reward amount for information on David Schultz has been increased.
David Schultz was declared missing in November of last year. He's a truck driver from Wall Lake, Iowa, and initially went missing while delivering hogs to Sac City. Volunteers have searched more than 100,000 acres for David Schultz. Initially, the reward for information on his location or disappearance was set at $2,000. That has grown. The Sac County Board of Supervisors recently chipped in another $25,000, and more reward money has come in since then, raising the total now to $27,800. Anyone with information is asked to contact Sac County Communications Center.
You know, I don't want to lighten this at all, because this is a very serious deal. This case surrounding David Schultz is a real head twister. The guy just leaves his truck kind of parked on the side of the road. His personal effects are still there. He has essentially vanished into thin air, and we are months into this search for him. $2,000 was never enough for the reward for information about his whereabouts. I'm really glad to hear that the law enforcement officials are out there searching for him as hard as they are. I read some articles here in preparation for talking about this where a lot of law enforcement officers missed Thanksgiving, they missed Christmas, they missed New Year's because they're out really looking hard for David. And I just want to keep talking about this whenever we can so that anybody that's out there putting miles behind him might just keep an eye out for anything that might look a little suspicious or a little strange, because you just never really know when something like this is going to happen. And this one seems straight out of a horror movie to me, Denny. I just don't understand how a driver with a fully loaded truck just vanishes into thin air with no sign or trace of him. And I want to hear from you about what you think about this. I know you've been kind of catching up on this story as of late as well.
I have. And like you, I did a little research when you mentioned we were going to talk about this. And, you know, a lot of drivers get into trouble when they invite that trouble into their truck. I don't think this is the case here. This would be, say, at a truck stop or somebody or somewhere they let a lot lizard in, or a drug dealer or something to that effect. But this, I don't think this is the case here. Another thing, it could be a random act of violence, but wouldn't the law enforcement community found some clues? Mm-hmm. I mean, they didn't take any of his personal effects, like you said. I saw one mention that possibly he just disappeared to start a new life. From what his wife is saying and stuff, that sounds doubtful, but I mean, I suppose it's not beyond comprehension. Now, my wife is into these weird, you know, novels and watches Bones on TV. And so she loves these kind of things. And thinking with her mind, the thing that occurred to me, God, how do I say this tactfully? But I even Googled this to find out, to make sure that it could happen. Cause I know I've seen it like on a Western a long time ago, that hogs can devour a body. So what if he had a problem back there in that trailer and he got in that trailer and somehow lost his footing and fell down? And the research, I said, I'll quote this, said you need at least 16 pigs to finish the job in one sitting. So be wary of any man who keeps a pig farm. They can go through a body that weighs 200 pounds in about 8 minutes. But I don't know, wouldn't there be shreds of clothing, things like that? But I mean, he was hauling hogs, right?
Yes, he was. And he was full at the time, from what I understand.
And, you know, I know that we all have been guilty, all by truck drivers, I mean, but probably everybody, but we all have gotten overconfident and cocky in our abilities and gone, whoa, wait a minute, back up. You know, I know one time I had my Jake brake on in icing conditions and my trailer started trying to pass me. That was either stupidity or overconfidence, but that's what I'm talking about. Maybe he was overconfident in his ability. He got back there to straighten out some fight between the pigs or something. And anyway, I don't know how likely that is, but that would be a way he could disappear.
And I think that that's part of the highlight of why this story is so just out of this world, is that you have to consider all these possibilities, even if it might sound far-fetched at this point. And I do want to enter into the conversation too, because I love what you did there, you know, just trying to figure out, maybe it was some type of crazy fluke accident. Is there a possibility that that happened? Absolutely. The same way there's a possibility that he decided that he didn't want to be with his family anymore and up and left, even though there were no clues to that. Same way there's a possibility that this was a bad actor and there was an act of violence involved, even though there are no clues of that. One thing I think is very important here. We live in a world of internet sleuths, these days. And I, just like your wife, I'm a fan of the true crime genre. I listen to podcasts. I watch the TV shows. I am a Dateline NBC nerd. I've listened to and watched so many of those episodes.
And I used to love listening to those while I was driving.
Oh, yeah. They're great. They're great. But the one thing about it is it turns a lot of us into kind of dashboard experts, because we've listened to so many different cases and we think that we understand it, when really the people that are out there looking for David right now are the people that should be out there looking for David. And I just want everybody that's listening to remember that if you have thoughts, if you think that something is missing here, it never hurts to bring it up, but you do have to approach that with caution, because you can muddy the waters very much so for the investigators that are working on this. You know, they're already going to get thousands of tips. And if some dude from Northeast Oregon decides, hey, I know what happened to David, and I start flooding the tip line with all sorts of woo-woo crazy ideas that don't make any sense whatsoever, they still have to filter through that stuff. And it makes it even tougher for them to do their job. So while you're doing your due diligence out there, if you're listening and you're thinking that you might know something, or you might have a tip for the police, vet that thing really well. Obviously, send it in if it makes sense and it's something that is a possibility. But do remember that the professionals out there that are pounding the pavement right now have been doing it for months, and there's always a good chance that they know some things that they aren't telling us. That's something that happens frequently. The media has a way of setting wildfires and then walking away from them. And that does not help in these investigations. So I appreciate that research, Denny. And was that a quote from the movie Snatch? Be wary of any man that owns a pig farm.
I got that off Google somewhere. I forgot exactly where.
Yeah, that's a fantastic movie. If you've never seen the movie Snatch, I don't know if that was a direct quote, but the villain in that movie owns a pig farm. And that's something that he cautions some people, that he be wary of any man that owns a pig farm. And rightfully so, they can go right through flesh. I mean, they're pigs. They're hungry. So anything else before we leave this one behind, Denny? I know you did a bunch of research here, and I don't want to cut this off before we complete the conversation.
No, the only thing I would add is, you know, if in fact David is starting a new life, find a way to contact people and let them know, even anonymously. You know, just, I don't know how they would do that and verify it, but it's taken a lot of man hours, and I have the utmost respect for law enforcement and all of our officers out there, and they're in the trenches doing this. The other thing I would say is if there's a way we could either post a link or the picture or something, so that if somebody did miss part of this and wanted to catch up, they could see the research that you've done.
Absolutely. And if you're just if you're rolling right now and you're looking for a good podcast to listen to update yourself on that story, I don't know that it would be as good of an update as possible. This is probably the update. But if you want the nuts and bolts of the story, we did almost a full episode on it. It's going to be back in the feed a little bit. It's late December is when we got to that. It's before all of the end of the year stuff. So go back if you're looking for another one to listen to right now. You want to know more about it. That's a good place to start. And we'll see if we can't get some links up to some of the news stories as well. A lot of local news is following this, and I realized I did not even credit KTIV out of Sioux City, Iowa for that news clip, and I should have done that. They've had some great coverage as well as many other local outlets, so definitely keep your eyes open, and if there's anything suspicious out there, you know, we talk about this sometimes. We've mentioned Truckers Against Trafficking and various organizations that try to keep the bad actors from kind of being this insidious force in the transportation industry. If you see something, say something out there. You probably have experience with that, Denny, where you're out doing your job and something somewhere just doesn't look right. It's oftentimes aware truckers save people's lives because they see something that doesn't look right. I've spoken to a driver that saved, I think there was over 20 people that were being human trafficked when he decided that something didn't look right. And he called the authorities. They got to the guy and they uncovered this big string of human trafficking that was going on. You just never know. Always a good idea to point out something that looks a little shady.
Yep, absolutely.
All right. This is something I've been looking forward to for a while. You know, Denny, I was just on a road trip here, put about 1,000 miles on over the weekend. I went back to my hometown to visit my parents and see some friends. Did the whole thing in 3 days, which I know is nothing compared to what most drivers will do just in a random week. But it's a lot for little old me as a podcaster, not a professional driver. But I was taking some notes along the way because I wanted to pick your brain a little bit about what your favorite truck manufacturers are. I know you've got a lot of experience behind the wheel, and I'm not sure if you've driven, you know, every one of these, or if you've driven some of them, or maybe you've heard horror stories, but we've got some interesting perspectives here because we've got you, the guy that has all the experience with the trucks, and we've got me, the guy that just really enjoys looking at them on the highway. And so my ranking of my favorite trucks is going to be a lot more on the aesthetic side of things. Although I did do some research on some of the new models and the things that are offered. This is pretty much, when I give you my list, it's going to be just looking at them and just feeling how they look as a truck rolling down the road. So we're going to talk about our top five favorite trucks here. And I think maybe I'll have you go first, Denny, since there's a little bit more weight to the things that you say, and I'm just kind of having some fun here.
I got to narrow it down to five, huh?
No, you don't. Take as much time as you want, because what I'm saying is I've got five, and that's just because I saw a bunch of these out on the highway. So we've got plenty of time, as many as you'd like.
Well, I think the only major brand I've never driven is a Mack. Okay. And All I can tell you is my Uncle Charlie drove one and loved it for years and years. In fact, I kept a troll doll on my dashboard. Anybody that ever saw it inside my truck, all the mechanics and stuff, they probably wonder what Uncle Charlie had a troll doll. They were really popular back in those days. And so I found one somewhere and I stuck it on the dash. That was Uncle Charlie. Anyway, he drove one. He had a dedicated lane from Anaheim, California to Las Vegas and back. And he didn't even have a sleeper. I mean, this is back in the day where if he wanted to sleep, he rolled the passenger window down and hung his feet out. But apparently it was dependable because that's what he drove for all those years. That's all I can tell you about a Mack.
Okay.
KW, Kenworth, I've only had one. That was my very first truck when I was a brand new baby trucker at Werner. And it was old and worn out and reeked of cigarette smoke from previous drivers. I didn't have it very long, but seemed like, you know, every time I hit the terminal, something had to be repaired.
Yeah.
But it was old. Then they put me in a Cascadia, which was, I think, the very first year they made Freightliner made the Cascadia, and it had all sorts of problems. That's what I've told people for years. It was fantastic for sitting around the truck stop or the terminal. If you just want to lay around and watch TV, it was very comfortable. But I was out there to make a living, and it spent half the time in the shop.
Wow.
Literally everything was going wrong. I would do regens probably at least once a week, and it would shut me down. I'd be on the shoulder of the highway for the better part of an hour doing a regen because the truck just said, nope, we're going to do this now.
Wow.
And everything else, it had leaks. It had the split windshield and I don't know, the gasket or whatever leaked and got all into the electronics. So all the computer stuff went belly up on me. I actually begged to be assigned an old Century class, which was the predecessor to the Cascadia. Mm-hmm. And that wasn't as comfortable, didn't have the creature comforts, but it got me down the road.
Right.
So I'm assuming that in all the years since that they probably perfected the Cascadia. I'm guessing it's probably a good truck now, but the Century class worked for me. I think both of them had these automatic top two gears. Mm-hmm. I mean, everything, you were shifting manually until you got to the top two gears and then they would go back and forth by themselves.
Okay.
Who dreamed that up ought to be slapped.
Well, it sounds like it
differently, but
you know, that might be a person that can never decide between chocolate and vanilla ice cream. You just always think you can have the best of both worlds. And in some situations you just can't make that
I'm
happen.
I'm guessing that is an engineer that never drove a truck.
Okay.
Cause you'd be going, you'd be climbing the mountain and it would shift down. And it would get going a little bit and you go, okay, I'm fine. It shifted up. And of course you lose your momentum and it shifted down. So by the time you got to the top, you were shifting out of the top two gears because it had messed around so long, you'd lost everything.
Right.
So that part I hated.
Now, is there any, before you get on to the next one, is there any truth to the freight shaker moniker? Because I've heard a lot of truck drivers refer to a freight liner as a freight shaker. And it kind of sounds like maybe
truth to that.
Yeah, it kind of sounds like maybe, at least in your experience, that might be true.
A little bit. They weren't the most comfortable. Like I say, the Cascadia was great for just sitting around, but it just didn't get down the road and earn money. So I don't know. I'm positive they would have discontinued that if they didn't figure out what was the matter and fix it. So they may be okay, but I haven't driven one in so many years.
Sure.
I think those came out mid-2000s, the late, you know, before 2010 anyway.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it's been a while.
For sure.
I had at least three Peterbilt 870s.
Okay.
I had one that was almost brand new. And then I had one that I drove coast to coast. I was running a dedicated lane from Florida to Atlanta to Ontario, California, then up to Salinas, pick up produce and go all the way back to Arcadia, Florida. I did that turnaround every 2 weeks. And this thing had almost 2 million miles on it.
Wow.
And it had a cat engine in it and it kept on trucking. When I would, for instance, be climbing the hill outside of Needles, California, I'd have to shut off the air conditioner to make it to the top of the hill without overheating. And in the summertime, you roll down the windows around Needles, California, and it's like somebody pointing a hairdryer in your face.
Right. It's not helping you at all. It doesn't matter how fast you're going.
Well, that's it. But, you know, it kept on going. I rarely had any problems with that thing. So that was a good truck.
Okay.
When I first hired on at H&M, they put me in an International ProStar, which was okay. A lot of drivers don't like them, but if it gets out there and earns me money and it's fairly comfortable because I'm living in it, then I'm not really particular.
Yeah.
I'm not into the aesthetic nearly as much as you seem to be, but I wasn't in that one very long. That was my, let's see if he's a screw up driver before we give him a good truck.
I gotcha. Got to have a couple of those.
It was all right. And then my last three trucks were Volvos.
Yeah.
And you know, the old timers, they make fun of Volvos. I didn't care. Volvo was a good truck. It was dependable. If I had any complaints about it, it was because, you know, a lot of the plastic pieces inside, you know, cabinets and stuff were kind of shabby, not shabby, but flimsy. The hinges would fall off and handles would break off and things like this. But as far as getting down the road, I've got to hand it to them. They designed the engineers at Volvo took the engine, the transmission, and the Jake brake and designed it all together at the same time to work together instead of just slapping on a Jake brake on this other system or whatever. It works. I was really impressed with that. And like I say, I put a lot of miles on three models. And so if I had to pick my favorite, it would be the Volvo.
There you go. And, you know,
I'll take the hate mail.
There you go. And it's going to come, Denny. There's no question in my mind. I mean, I've heard enough drivers complain about them for one thing or the other. But what's funny about it is I do see a little bit of a relationship between drivers that have never driven one complaining about it. And it's funny to me that that's the case. And, you know, there's tradition in every walk of life, in every occupation, every sport, everything you think about, there's tradition and then there's, advancement. And Volvo just doesn't fall under the tradition of trucking in many people's eyes. And maybe it'll carve itself out for tradition in 20 years from now, because that is one thing I wanted to say. I've got Volvo here on my list. As I was taking notes, The number five, as far as aesthetics is concerned for me on my list, was the Mack Anthem. I saw one of these things coming down the road, and the first thing that caught my eye was the grill. I thought it just looked so cool. I'm not as excited about the rest of it, but the Mack Anthem coming in at number five on my list, just behind the Volvo VNL. I really think that this is also one I'm a little bit biased on, Denny, because the only truck that I've sat in was a brand new Volvo at the H&M shop. They hadn't even taken the plastic off the seats of this thing yet. And it's one of the most comfortable seats that I've ever sat in. And that goes for my Lazy Boy downstairs, the seat in my Chevy Silverado, and the one I'm sitting in right now. If I could have all of those replaced with that Volvo seat, I would be a happy camper. And, you know, they're a good looking truck. They were spacious enough inside. But one of the things I'd have heard drivers talk about is they would go for a little bit more room in the cabin if they could in the Volvos. They feel a little bit tight, a little bit compact in there. But I got to tell you, I see a pretty good track record with H&M, especially in these Volvos. And of course, you know, the H&M likes to keep pretty fresh equipment under their drivers for sure. So, I just can't see a brand new Volvo being a bad thing to get a call and have to go and climb in for a day, you know?
Yeah. I think it was my second one that I got and took the plastic off the seats. And this is another one of these, they didn't talk to a truck driver when they designed this. Somebody put cream colored cloth seats in this stupid thing.
And we're gonna work.
Messing with grease and dirt and mud. And first thing I did is I went and bought some heavy duty, actually got them at Cabela's. There's a plug for Cabela because they were cheaper than anything else. These heavy duty seat covers, and put them on there, and they kept those seats in perfect condition. In fact, I bought the same kind of seat covers for the latest Jeep we bought. But yeah, I just knew it wasn't going to be 2 weeks before I had grease stains all over those seats.
Well, that is
again, talk to a truck driver when you're designing this stuff.
Absolutely. The engineers, I think think they know a little bit more than what they do about what actually goes on when you're out there rolling. So, and I will say this as well, Cabela's, you've got a heck of an endorsement opportunity right here on the H&M Trucking Podcast, because Denny Stone's running your seat covers and he swears by them. So let's get some sponsorship money rolling in.
Most of them will have truck parking too, but truckers probably know this.
Yep.
You go to a Cabela's, they've got a spot for trucks and RVs to park. So,
and you know, there's even the rare one. And also I think this is a Sportsman's Warehouse thing, but I have seen some Cabela's and Sportsman's Warehouse where you can take a boat right out to a little pond in the back of their shop and test it out. If you're buying a rowboat or a paddle boat or something, I mean, look, it's an American institution. You got to love Cabela's.
But you can't buy firearms out of state though. So
yeah, well, that might be a whole other podcast.
I tried that for a Christmas present for my wife one time. I was on the road and wanted to get her the new pistol she wanted, and I couldn't buy it from out of state. Learned that the hard way.
Yeah, yeah. It's like I said, probably a whole other podcast we could do if we're ever going to talk about that kind of red tape. And I have some thoughts, but I'll save everybody from them right now because we're talking about these big, beautiful trucks. Number three on my list is going to be the Freightliner Cascadia. I think it's got some real nice traditional lines to it while also having the aerodynamics of what looks like a new, you know, 21st century truck. And something about that grill, I will be honest with you, Denny, a lot of the times the first thing I see is the grill and it kind of transfixes me. And it's something about that Freightliner logo on that chrome grill. I just really like the way that it looks. I could take or leave the mirrors that are up about halfway on the hood. And once again, this is an aesthetic thing. I'm sure they serve a fantastic purpose. You guys need them.
You take my fender mirrors away, I'm going to hurt you.
There you go. I don't care
how pretty they are.
Right. None of this actually matters to people that are actually driving. It's just fun for me, I guess. So thanks everybody for putting up with it. Number two on the list is going to be that Kenworth T680. Again, with the big grill, the mesh grill, the high tops on them, and a little bit of aerodynamics, you can tell, but still just, I mean, built tough, man. I've got a soft spot for Kenworth too, because if I'm not mistaken, it's a Pacific Northwest company. I do believe they started out of the Seattle area, if I'm not mistaken, or somewhere up in Washington. So always trying to stay loyal to my roots here, but really like that T680 Kenworth. And finally, for my number one, I mean, if I had to make you guess what truck you think somebody that only cares about aesthetics is going to put at the top of their list, what one would you think it would be, Denny?
For aesthetics, for me, it would be either a Kenworth or a Peterbilt long nose.
Yeah, but mine's the long nose Pete for sure. The 379, that is a truck to me. When I was a kid and I used to like to draw semi-trucks, that was the only thing I ever drew, was the long nose, you know, the little bit squattier windshield, and just, it just looks so tough. And you don't see as many of them rolling down the road anymore, but I did actually see one on my most recent road trip. And I almost took an exit and jumped on the other side of the freeway and followed it just so that I could sit there and stare at it for a little while, because this is just a thing of beauty. And one of the things I kind of love about them now is that they're a little bit more rare out there. A lot of times you're seeing people buy them and restore them, and they're showing them rather than actually, you know, going out and putting a bunch of miles on them. So there will be some relics of the long nose Pete in the history books for a long time. And I'm really excited about that too.
I think if you were hauling cattle on the hoof, you were maybe even a hopper driver, a long nose would probably suffice just fine. But if you're doing drive-in and having to get in some of these tight spots that we have to back into, every inch of length makes a difference. When you mentioned somebody wanted more cabin space, you know, that if they're going to add 6 inches to that cabin, you're adding 6 inches to how you're having to back that thing in. I don't know, maybe they could make it work with the same frame, but that's what the first thing pops into my mind is, it already very tight getting into a lot of these docks. Mm-hmm. And, you know, they pile stuff in front of you and park cars all around you and set the dumpster over here. It's like an obstacle course. You know, there might've been enough pavement when they built the place, but they eliminated all but, just enough. Mm-hmm. And I feel sorry for rookie drivers that don't have any experience and the guys that have never learned how to blindside. That'd be the first piece of advice. Well, it is the first piece of advice I give to anybody, rookies that ask me. I said, find a place, when you've got plenty of time and there's not a bunch of people around, and blindside back in. Learn how to do it, because you're going to find those situations where you have to, and then you don't know how and you're not comfortable.
Sure.
It's more of a challenge, but it can be done. And once you learn it, it's especially with power mirrors, it's not as big a deal as it used to be.
Right. Well,
my rant.
Well, hey, I want to add to it a little bit too, because it, a lot like the automatic transmission makes some drivers not have to learn the trade quite as well as drivers like yourself who had to learn how to shift gears and basically control every aspect of the transmission of the truck. There are actually, I think it was the Kenworth T680, the highest level trim that they're selling, have digital mirrors that are built on the inside. So they're actually screens that are kind of on your A-pillars there. And those screens are connected to cameras in the back. I don't even know with that type of technology if blind backing is a thing anymore, because it looked to me like he had a full, I won't call it a 360 view, but he had a pretty good view of what was going on from his physical mirrors and then his digital mirrors that were actually mounted inside the cab. I'm with you. I say go out there and practice it the old fashioned way and learn how to do it, because one thing I know about growing up in the age of technology is it fails. It fails frequently and it will fail you when you need it the most. Yep. So if you have those skills, they will pay dividends in the future.
That's a fact. Yeah. In fact, here's a plug for H&M. If I didn't love H&M and the way I was treated by H&M, when it came to, I think it was maybe my second Volvo, that the only thing they were buying was automatic transmissions. Any other company, I would have probably left and gone somewhere else. I didn't like the prospect, the idea of coming down a mountain and not being able to control what gear I'm in. Mm-hmm. Things like that. It really concerned me, but Volvo did it right. I could set the cruise and set the Jake, and I rarely even touch the pedal unless I'm coming down off Grapevine or Cabbage Hill or something. One of those really big mountains. Most of the time the truck did it itself. So I can't complain, but like I said, if I didn't like H&M that much, I would have gone somewhere else. I didn't want an automatic. And then one Atlanta traffic jam cured me of that, because my knee didn't hurt after it.
I hear you there. It's great, Denny. Well, listen, coming up here just around the corner, we are going to get a couple of drivers in here, and we're all going to debate the good, the bad, and the ugly with all of these different truck models. I don't know if I will just debate the ugly side of it, because once again, I'm all on the aesthetics front, but I'm looking forward to get you on with a couple of drivers that are driving for H&M right now to talk about some of these trucks and what's good and what's bad about them. And that's coming up right now. Joining me now here on the H&M Trucking Podcast, I should say joining Denny and I now here on the H&M Trucking Podcast, is H&M driver Tom Woods. You know him, you love him. He's been here plenty of times. Tom, welcome back to the podcast.
Hello, guys. How's everybody doing?
Doing great. Well. Thank you. Thanks for being here today, man. Where are you at?
I am in Baltimore, Maryland right now.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Oh, no. I'm sitting over here watching some Sopranos. Got me some little lunch cooked up. Got my curtains pulled. Just kicked back over here with my feet up. Relaxing. Getting paid.
There you go.
That's good. That's good. It's the best thing you can do in Baltimore is not drive, I would think.
Get out of here first thing in the morning about 7 o'clock or 8, and I'll be good.
Cool.
While traffic's coming in, I'm going to be going out.
Got it. Well, good luck to you. Hopefully you don't end up with any crazy traffic situations or anything like that, Tom. I should ask you, since we're sitting here about to talk about our favorite trucks and what we like and dislike about them, what kind of truck do you have your feet kicked up in right now, Tom?
I got a Cascadia Freightliner.
And how do you feel about your Cascadia Freightliner? Let's jump right off the top and talk about what you go to work in every single day.
What do I like about my truck? I like it because it is a little roomier. rides a little rough, but it's got the power to do what I want it to do. It's got a little, some little bells and whistles that a lot of the Volvos don't have. It's got a pass. It's called a Pass Smart. You step on the fuel pedals like 3 times, and it'll let you go up to 5 miles an hour over the speed limit for at least 30 minutes a day. So it kind of gets you where you can get around these trucks that are doing 68 out there. You can get around all that riffraff out there. It's a good truck, you know, pretty decent. It's got a steering assistance on it, which it's kind of crazy a little bit, but it'll steer down the road. It'll go around a corner and, you know, stay in its lane like it's got if you got it on. But sometimes it's a little hectic, like you're a little snow and ice. It'll kick on and or kick off, and it'll kind of pull you to a little bit. So it's kind of a scary deal. You just got to watch it. But other than that, the truck's a pretty good, decent truck. You know, it helps me make my money. I don't break down as much, you know.
So
I like it.
Denny, yesterday when we were talking about it, you had some thoughts on Freightliner. How do you, you're sitting here listening to Tom talk about them. What do you think?
Well, it sounds like maybe they worked the bugs out. I had one of the first Cascadias when they went from Century Class to Cascadia, and they didn't have the bugs worked out. I don't think they were ready to launch that truck yet, because I had nothing but trouble. I was sitting on the side of the road doing regens probably once a week at least. But I'm glad they got it worked out, because it was a comfortable truck. That's what I said, you know, a little while ago, that it was great if you just want to sit around, watch a movie and relax, but trying to get down the road and make a living was tough.
Well, I got to say this, Danny, this is no joke, man. I've heard some bad things and I've had some good things, but I put it all in Jesus' hands, and I learned to say, okay, God, it's your truck. You run it down the road the way you want me to. If you put me on the side of the road or at a shop or something, it's a reason why you're doing it. So let's roll in your hands. You have the steering wheel. I'll just be the robot. You know, that's the way I look at it. You know, if I break down, it's a reason. There's a reason why I'm sitting there, you know.
I can't tell you how many times I've been frustrated because I got stuck in traffic or there was an accident or something. And then just a few miles down the road, if I'd have been 5 minutes earlier, I'd have been in the middle of this mess, you know? So
yes,
I hear
sir,
what
Danny.
You're saying.
Yes, right. I hear you. You know, I tell you what, I was during this bad cold weather, the negative 14 and 13 degree weather we had in Wisconsin last month. I was sitting at a Walmart parking lot over there in Monroe, Wisconsin, matter of fact. And I got up the next morning, and my truck's like, blah, blah, blah. It's like it woke me up because it did something and it stopped. Well, I get up there and I crank my truck's running because I got to leave it idle under 10 degrees. And I look on the dash, it says, need to regen. So I thought, oh, shit, here we go again. Here we go. The stuff that everybody hates. So I got over there and I hit the okay button, went to it. It actually lets you, it won't let you do a force regen until it says, hey, you need to do a force regen. Did a force regen on it. I went back here and got dressed, ate my breakfast while I was regening for about 35 or 40 minutes, I think. Finally went down. I looked at the soot level. The soot level was really good. And I'm telling you right now, as long as you're driving this thing hammered down all the time with these death systems, you should not ever have a problem out of them. Ever.
Well, that's good. I think that everybody wants or would like to hear that. And I'll tell you, just to touch on something you said a few seconds ago, I need your mindset, Tom, when it comes to things going wrong in my golf game. Because if I could just come to peace with the fact that this is somebody else's doing and I'm not the one out here screwing it up and there's a reason for all of it, I'd be better at golf, I think.
Danny, you know why you ain't so good at golf? He ain't related to Tiger Woods like I am. Oh,
yep.
Yeah.
Maybe get Dale Cook to give you some lessons.
I should. Wow. I don't know that he could put up with me. I think I talk too much.
I'm going to back out of that conversation.
Well, that's his passion besides work is golfing.
Yep, yep.
Yes, sir.
We've had to schedule around it a couple of times, and I love that he's honest with me because I'll say, hey, I'm recording Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and the first thing Dale says is, well, I golf on Wednesdays. And so Wednesdays are just off the board, and at least he's honest
right.
with me, you know. But, you know, getting back to it here, we talked a little bit the last time we were here just earlier in the show Tom, about some of the trucks that we dislike as well. Now, everything for me is coming from an aesthetic standpoint. We've already talked about that. I have no experience sitting in any of these, but you guys both have a lot of experience. Denny talked me through some of the trucks that he wasn't so fond of, and one of them was his first Freightliner that he had. Have you had any trucks, Tom, that you haven't been fond of over the years? And if so, what models?
Okay, so I wasn't too fond of it, but that sucker got down the road pretty good. It was an 05 Sterling. If you've seen those things, it's about the ugliest looking truck going down the damn road. But it did have a Mercedes engine in it, and that son of a gun. It had 220-gallon tanks on each side, so you could fill that sucker up, and you didn't have to stop getting no fuel at all during your 1,000-mile trip. You know what I mean? You go straight through. No fueling. So, yeah, that was one of the, that was the ugliest truck and the most uncomfortable truck to ride in, but that sucker could pull a load, I'm telling you.
So, it sounds like they all have their ups and downs, right?
Absolutely, absolutely, absolutely. And a good-looking truck, I'm going to tell you right now, everybody out here, every truck driver out here, if you hand him the keys to a 379 long nose Pete or a W900, with a studio sleep, you have the keys to either one of those trucks with a 13, 15, or an 18 speed, or an automatic. I don't know. I mean, it just depends on what you want to drive. They would drive that every day with their head high and proud to be driving that thing. Okay? That's every trucker's dream. But today's society, we want to try light, get more weight, get down the road, cheaper. So the best looking truck on the market today is the T680 Kenworth. That is the best looking truck on the market today, all out.
Well, I have to agree. It was number two on my list behind the long nose Pete. But I think, you know, everybody's got the pipe dreams. I don't think that you see as many of those out there these days as you do the Kenworth T680. But I think just aesthetically, Tom, I agree 100%. I think it's a beautiful piece of machinery.
Absolutely.
So how important is the aesthetic part of it to you drivers? I want to hear from both of you on this because, you know, I'm just out here looking at what I think defines a truck and what I used to draw pictures of as a kid. You guys are the ones actually in it. Is it as important to you that it looks the way you want it to look as, say, your personal vehicle? Denny, go ahead. We'll start with you.
Not as much. I tried to keep it relatively clean, but I'm not one of those that's out there shining my lugs every time I stop and things like that. Now, if I had a showpiece like that long nose Pete or something, that'd be different. Yeah, I'd be polishing that dude and putting wax on it and everything else. But to me, it's a tool. It's meant to earn a living. And yeah. I know back early in my career, I was actually kind of glad I had an old beat up Century class because I thought, well, they'll stay out of my way. I didn't put all the dents in it, but there were lots of dents in it.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
What about for you, Tom? How important is the aesthetic of the truck you're driving?
So cleaner, being clean, looking good on the outside and the inside shows your character of a driver, of how you care for your stuff. This truck may not be in my name, but I treat it like I'm paying for it. So I take care of it as well as I do my personal vehicle at home. It's just, I'm not the one cut the check on getting the maintenance or the tires and all that. You know what I mean? Truck and trailer.
A lot less inspections if you keep your truck looking good too.
True story, real quick. Laredo, Texas. Come out of Laredo, Texas. One of our H&M drivers come through Laredo, pulls in the check station. Truck drivers, the DOT officer says, hey, we're going to do a level one. As soon as he raises the hood, the DOT officer tells him straight up, close your hood, come inside, get your paperwork, get the hell out of my damn station. He said, I've been doing this for 10 years here at this location. I've never seen a truck this clean.
Wow. So it can save you. It can save you some time with Johnny Law. He didn't even have to get his fully inspected just nope. Because he took such good care of that thing.
Absolutely.
Wow.
Yeah. And if you get that engine wash, you can see if anything's leaking too. You know, yeah. You can keep an eye on it when you're doing your walk around. Mm-hmm. So
absolutely.
Well, that makes me happy. You know, as a kid, I used to detail cars for a living when I was real young during the summers. And I washed my car once every week and I waxed it every other week. And it was very important to me that it was always clean. And I lived on a damn dirt road. So you can tell where my frustration started to build at a young age.
But
it's just something about the feeling you get, and maybe it's just a car guy thing. I'm not really a, what I would call a gearhead or anything like that, but I have a giant appreciation for the mechanics that go behind vehicles, and especially ones of a little bit older ilk. You know, I had a 1972 Chevy when I was in high school that was fully rebuilt, and it was so cool. I mean, I miss that thing more than certain dead relatives, you guys. I'm not going to lie to you.
Wow. That's I've got a 69
Chevy C20.
You got a 69 C20, you said, Denny?
Yeah, I bought it. It was a barn find. Guy found in his barn and uncovered it. And I've had the shop. I won't take credit, but I had my mechanic and body shop completely redo it. They discovered a decal on the driver's door. Turns out this was part of the maintenance fleet of the Oak Ridge facility where they enriched the uranium for the bombs. So anyway, I couldn't cover that up. We did the rust abatement and put clear coat on top of it. So the inside is like a pristine. It's 95% brand new looking, but the outside is got all its dings and its different colors, and it's pretty cool. I love it. Old 69.
Oh, yeah, and
it will haul anything.
And they call that personality, those dings and those bumps, you know, that's just personality. And Tom, you asked what color mine was. There's a funny story behind that. A gentleman that lived just about 10 miles up the road in a little podunk town called Lostine, Oregon, painted that vehicle before I ever bought it. And he painted it white with a Nissan Pearl clear coat. And I sold the truck on eBay because, you know, I was out doing burnouts one day, and that fully restored engine had a really old radiator. That was the one thing they didn't want to repair for or put a new one in for some reason. So radiator went out, short story. I cracked the block and burn out a bunch of the cylinders. It was ugly, but I couldn't afford to fix it. So I fixed it and I sold it to a guy on eBay out of Sacramento, California. He drove up and got it, and he got it backed into in a parking lot the first week that he had it. And he called me and he said, "Hey, what color is this? What's the color code?" I said, "I don't have any idea. Let me call the guy." I called the guy. The guy says, "I don't know what the color code is on that thing. It was a one-off." That truck was only the same color that I had it for a week after I sold it. And the guy had to get the entire thing repainted. It was so beautiful. It just glistened in the sunlight. It was a step side.
Oh, wow.
So it had all those really nice body lines, and it was geared for drag racing. I was a liability in that truck. Let's be honest with everybody.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, I'm going to tell you something. So the, you know, H&M, we got two trucks we can deal with. We got a Freightliners now, and we got Volvos. I kind of heard through the grapevine we may be getting these badass version of the Volvos next year.
Mm-hmm.
If they get new trucks, which I looked it up, they look pretty badass. Freightliner has not changed their style in the last few years, I don't think. I don't think they plan on changing anything. You know, I would dream that for H&M to start buying T680s again. I love the way they got those, the edges on the hood of those T680 Kenworths. They're square. They're more aerodynamic. The interior of a Kenworth is, I think, all out the best interior of a called quote unquote plastic truck, because they're all made out of fiberglass or plastic or whatever. But they're good looking trucks, you know what I mean?
That kind of brings me to another point, Tom, is we haven't really talked much about the Volvo in our conversation yet today, and you know, Volvo has one hell of a stigma out there, and I don't know whether it comes from the fact that it's not just a good old American-made brand or whatever the case may be. I know they make them over here now, but what is it, do you think, fellas, that causes people to turn their nose up at Volvo just because, I mean, the minute that they hear the name, I've heard people just start making fun of it, and you can tell, based on what I hear from guys that drive Volvos all the time, Denny included, I can tell that the people that are really bashing on them maybe haven't spent very much time in one.
When the Volvos first came out, they were very comfortable. You know, years ago, 15, 20 years ago. They're very comfortable, but they were very, very heavy. It was hard to make a living, hard to, you know, you burn more diesel than it was worth, but they've changed all of that. I'm a Volvo fan. I'll take the heat, but, you know, it's like I said earlier, it's a tool. Yeah. And whichever one is going to do the best job for getting me down the road, delivering those loads and making the money, that's the most important thing to me. Aesthetics, you know, how it looks, that's secondary.
Right. Hey, Danny, yes, I can tell you this right now, sir. I can tell you this right now, that it doesn't matter if it's a Volvo, a Freightliner, an International, Kenworth, Long Nose Pete,
Western Star.
Guess what? They're still bringing in a paycheck every week. It doesn't matter. As long as you don't have no breakdowns or blowouts out here, you are doing a hell of a deal. Keep trucking.
I'd be checking a lot of things if I were buying a truck. Mm-hmm. I'd want to know a whole lot more. But if Dale Cook is going to fix this thing for me, then, you know, I don't care. You can buy whatever brand you get the best deal on as long as it gets the job done. But like I say, if I were looking at purchasing one, then I would be asking a lot more questions.
Yeah, gotcha. So, Tom, what are your thoughts on the Volvo? I know you have that mindset. Hey, it's a paycheck. If it gets the job done.
H&M gave me my second truck. For H&M was a brand new 2021 Volvo. And it was they call it the Barney because it's almost color Barney. It wasn't that dark of a purple. So it was more of like a blush purple or whatever you want to call it.
Mm-hmm.
But it looked badass, hooked to a friggin' hopper. And let me tell you something. It was just a little bit designed on the inside that I really liked. And the TV was up high so you could see it up high, not down low like the Freightliners. You know, it had a cabinet with drawers on the back, on the doors on it. The bed set up a little higher. It had a pull-out refrigerator. It wrote really good. They offered me this brand new truck. You don't ever turn down a brand new truck. Come on now. You know, that's the stupidest thing you ever done. Did you, Danny?
I did. I begged them not to give me a new one. I'm like, this one's running fine. I don't want to move all my shit.
Yeah. I smell bullshit.
Well, especially when I was getting close to retiring, because I knew it wasn't going to be long. And so I just asked them to leave me in this one for a little bit longer. So I put more miles on that last truck than I did most of them with H&M.
Absolutely. But Volvo's good. I mean, you know what? They both did very wonderful jobs. You know what I mean? They got me down the road. I had a place to lay my damn head down and put my groceries, you know, I got criticized. Oh, you're driving a Volvo. And I told him, I said, look, man, I can show you check stubs after check stubs. And I ain't making no more money or no less money driving this truck or that truck you're driving, you know?
Yeah.
So,
well, it's a great mindset to have. And I, you know what? I want to take a break a little bit from just talking about which trucks we like and talk to you a bit about your mindset, Tom, because you are without question one of the most positive minded truck drivers that I talk to. And you did tell us earlier, hey, you know, that's a part of it is have a good attitude and the rest will kind of follow. How long did it take you to figure that out? Was it something that you've had with you for your entire life, or is that something that trucking and all the lumps that come along with it had to teach you?
Marcus, Danny, and all you people at HDF, I'm so sorry that I ever cussed or raised hell with y'all, but let me tell you something. It took until I got out of the hospital from being in COVID and about dying while working at H&M, but it took a long time for me to really open up my eyes and see that life is way too more important than me stressing over, oh, I didn't get the right load, or, oh, I'm getting all mad, or I got to drive this, or I got to drive that. I'm going to tell you, it's for about the last year, I have took a deep breath before I say anything. And matter of fact, I talked to my dispatcher yesterday, Lizzie over there at H&M. Awesome dispatcher. Let me tell you something. She says, I called you and I told you you was going to get a 329-mile run. And I was waiting for you to cuss me out and raise hell with me. But she said, okay. And she says, well, hell, he's just so bad at me, he's just ready to get off the phone. And then she wakes up the next morning, and I'm sitting at the fucking receiver ready to unload. And she's like, I can't fucking believe he's already there before I even get up to go to work. So it's, listen, again, take a deep breath. You can't fix stupid, okay?
Just because you go some. They may be just staging you. That's what I've learned. You know, if you got a good dispatcher and you get that 300 or 400 mile run or 200 mile run, they may just be getting you in line for that 1500 or 2000 mile run, so you'll be in the right spot. Now, if you get, you know, three or four of those in a row, then I might lose my cool a little bit. But most of the time, Stacy took good care of me.
Oh yeah, I mean, listen. If they're not trained, they get trained, okay? If you got an issue, let's say you got an issue with your dispatcher and you've been having issues and you just can't seem to get right, you may need to change your dispatchers. And I'm not saying that's a good thing. I'm not saying that's a bad thing. But listen, in the I've been here for H&M for 4 years, and in my last, 10 months, my attitude is 100% different. She sent me over here. I'm over here in Baltimore, Maryland right now. I can't load till tomorrow. They would not load me until tomorrow. I used to get all bent out of shape, cussing, raising hell. Nope. Like I told you when I first started the conversation, my legs are propped up. I got my curtains pulled. I'm watching a little TV. I ate my dinner already, and I'm just laid back, relaxing.
You're sitting by that telephone pole just down the road from Sherwin-Williams. You better lock your doors, Bubba.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I would hate for somebody to get in my truck. I'll turn that stick loose on them. All I've got to do is say, stick, get them. That sucker will start swinging left and right, up and down, and they'll wind up going to the hospital with no teeth.
That sounds like a well-trained stick you got in the cab there.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
You know, that is something that I worry about when I hear some of the areas that you guys got to park in and some of the places that you have to just shut it down for the night. I wonder, you know, these big metropolitan cities, they ain't safe in every area. And I would guess that a lot of times there's some pretty sketchy places that you guys got to drive through before you find a place where you're actually comfortable parking it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Danny, how long did you work here before you retired?
Oh, 10 years plus.
Why'd you retire for? Yo.
Well, I'm not that old, but I don't want to wait until I'm ready to drop dead. I want to still be able to have fun and spend time with the grandkids and, you know, spend time with my wife after all those years of only seeing her for maybe 5 days, 6 days a month tops.
Yeah, I got you. Well, that's important. Time is short, man. Time is running out for all of us, you know, and I told a young 16-year-old girl that was a Girl Scout over there in Council Bluffs, Iowa, just the other day when I was at Texas Roadhouse. Her mom was standing right there, too, and I said, look, I said, time's running out for me. I said, you want all this stuff? You're young. You want all this. You want to do this. You want to do that. You want to move out. You don't want to be around your parents. Y'all argue. I said, that's just stupid. I said, my time has run out. My parents are gone. My brother's dead, you know, and I'm best friends died, and, you know, a couple people, H&M, I got really close to, have passed away. They moved on to a better place from us, and you know, my time's running out too. You know, I got two beautiful granddaughters, an amazing daughter, and an amazing son-in-law. I can't have a fancy house and a fancy truck staying at home making $800 a week. I got to be out here making the money I'm making right now to be able to afford that stuff, you know?
Yeah.
And I don't know anything else to do, you know.
Well,
unless Marcus is going to write me a check for a couple $1 million, you know.
Well, I got to tell you, you'll be splitting it with me. That's the only thing, because you'll be splitting the debt with me, Tom, because it'll be a rubber check and it'll bounce higher than the top of that cab you're sitting in. All right. But
wow,
you never know. You might have a future as a podcaster. I'm just not, I don't want to lie to you and tell you there's millions of dollars in it, but there is a lot of fun in it. That's for sure. So
absolutely.
And you've always sounded like a guy to me that, you know, the paycheck's important, but quality of life is also something that's very important, especially after that scare you had with COVID.
Oh yeah, man, that was a bad deal. That scared, you know, matter of fact, I had brought that up to Eve at H&M. That was funny. That was the funny show. I didn't even know Eve had seen me sitting in the rental car that my friend drove up from Texas to come get me out of the hospital, because I told my daughter straight up, get me the fuck out of this hospital or I'm going to find a way to, I'm going to check myself out, have somebody take me to the airport and I'll pay them to take me back home to Texas. My daughter could not come get me because she's got those two daughters. They had to work. They had took an emergency leave of absence from work for about 3 days just to drive a day and a half up to from Central Texas up to Kearney, Nebraska. And it took them another 15 hours to get back home, you know, and I can understand that. And so she hired my friend to come get me. When I was sitting over there at the yard, Jim over there, I know you know Jim's last name. Excuse me, Jim. I'm sorry, bud.
Jim Musil.
Yes. Okay. So Jim come out to Tom, how are you doing? I said, man, I didn't know. He said, damn, boy. He said, you look pretty good, but he was lying to me. I said, you lied, son of a gun. And then Eve, I didn't even know Eve had seen me, you know? And I said, did I look bad? He says, let's just tell you something, Tom. You look like a walking zombie.
But
the closer my friend got me from Nebraska to Texas, she said out of her own mouth as she got me home, I have never seen somebody heal that fast in 15 hours to where they can actually get out of the car and walk into the house. When I first got out of the hospital, I couldn't even walk to the car. They had to put me in a wheelchair.
Wow.
But when I got home, I had to actually walk myself to the door. It took a little bit, but I did, you know. I was ready to be home.
Hell yeah.
Where's home?
Temple, Texas. Temple, Texas.
You just up the road. I live in New Braunfels.
Really?
Yes, sir.
That's awesome. My daughter's aunt, Darla, lives in New Braunfels. She's a real estate agent down there.
Well, you guys are going to have to hook up at a Texas Roadhouse sometime over steak and talk face to face.
Don's paying. He's retired, remember? He's got all the money.
Well, you got to get his name right if you want to have a steak with him. His name's Denny, not Don.
Well, Danny, Don, hey, you know what? Dollar. How about that? He's got the dollar.
I retired. Danny, I didn't say I was rich.
I'm sorry, if you want
a steak dinner, you might wind up at Whataburger instead.
Hey, don't twist my arm twice. Let's go. Which one are we going to meet at?
Yeah, don't threaten Tom with a good time.
Yeah.
Hey, you get out here. There's a TA on one end and a pilot at the other. You park at one of them, give me a call, all right?
Yeah, yes, sir. You know I will. Hell, you know what? I'll come home and I'll drive down there in my fancy little pickup truck just to take a little road trip. I'll call you up. We go down here to Whataburger. It don't matter to me. Slotsky's, Whataburger. That's two of my favorite restaurants in Texas. I'm not even going to lie to you.
Well, I'm right there with you.
Well, fellas,
hell yeah.
This has been a fantastic conversation. I was really looking forward to this episode because I knew we were just going to get to have some fun, not have to talk about all the things that that piss Tom off every day. And I know that there's less and less of them because of your positive attitude. But I really appreciate you coming on here with us, Tom, and having a little bit of fun today. It's always a pleasure, my friend.
Yes, sir.
All right.
Good talking to you, Tom. Hey, before we wrap it up, I forgot something earlier when I mentioned that the annual innings festival is out near Phoenix and Tempe. I forgot NASCAR is going to be in Atlanta on the 25th, too.
And there you go.
South of Atlanta is already really big enough pain in the ass. So add NASCAR traffic to it, and I'd avoid it if I could.
Absolutely. You know, I'm going west, so it doesn't matter.
Good.
I'll be out of here tomorrow, and that'll be good.
All right. Sounds good. Well, Tom, you be safe out there, and we'll be back in touch with you very soon, my friend.
Yes, sir. God bless y'all.
You ever get done with with a conversation and the hot dogs on the back of your neck hurt a little bit because you've been laughing and smiling so much. That's what just happened to me after getting off the line with Denny Stone and Tom Woods. Fantastic conversation. Loving having Denny on board for these, man. It's so nice to have somebody with all that knowledge that I can ping some of my stupidity off of. I'm learning something every day. And of course, our buddy Tom Woods never fails to disappoint on this podcast. Love having him on. And hey, that opportunity's out there for any of you that you want, that may want it. So definitely look us up. If you're interested in coming on the podcast, we can definitely talk it out. So big thanks to those guys. And thanks for coming along today. If you're out there clicking subscribe, rolling down the road, getting your miles on, we always appreciate the ears. And today we just wanted to have a little bit of fun. So next week we're going to have a little bit of fun too, but it's going to be the kind of fun where you might accidentally learn something. We got another Trucking Up History episode coming up for you. So get ready to put on your learning caps, or in my case, a dunce cap, and figure out something about the highways and byways of this great nation. Really looking forward to episode 49, Trucking Up History. We're going to talk about the Mackinac Bridge. So make sure you tune in next week and hit that subscribe button, cheese bags, because that's how you stay fresh. And you see what I did there.
Thank you for listening to the H&M Trucking Podcast. Please leave a review, subscribe, and connect with Marcus over at the H&M Trucking social media channels. And if you're considering a job at H&M, find us at hmtrucking.com. Until next time, stay safe and ahead of the curve drivers.